We get it underway, though, by welcoming back to the program from the Boston Globe, he is Patriots insider Christopher Price. Chris, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Rich. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing so well. Great to have you with us on this, next to next to last day of summer officially.
Can't wait for fall. Can't wait for fall.
My favorite time of year. So I'm loving it. It would be better if the Patriots could get a W going here against the Jets. But it's an interesting situation. But first of all, does Tua just own Bill Belichick, or is that purely coincidence?
Yeah, you know, maybe the change of seasons will help the Patriots from summer to fall when you turn the page, and they'll get in the win column. The Tua Tagovailoa situation is really, really interesting as it relates to Bill. He has something, and I don't know if it's the cast around him. I don't know if it's how he best utilizes the cast around him. I don't know if it's the fact that he's the only lefty quarterback in the league, but I think it's maybe a combination of all three of those things, because he is unbeaten against Bill and had remained unbeaten against Bill, as we saw on Sunday night. He just seems to have all the answers when it comes to going up against Belichick.
Although I felt like the bigger situation for the Patriots defense was the inability to stop the run in key situations.
Yeah, and I'm glad you bring that up, Rich, because the Patriots' defensive game plan was very clearly geared towards slowing Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. And for the most part, they were able to do that. They limited that duo to only a couple of really explosive plays. One of the most explosive offenses in the league. They were able to slow down that passing game, really helped, you know, stop them from connecting on those big plays. But, you know, the trade-off there is, you know, you're left a little light when it comes to the front seven. So I think that Miami did a great job exploiting that. Raheem Mostert put up huge numbers, phenomenal numbers. But I think the important thing to remember here is the Patriots were geared towards stopping the pass, but Mike McDaniels and the Dolphins were able to recognize that and really leaned on Mostert and made it back.
And then offensively, Mac Jones had a decent day statistically speaking, but again, it was that inability to make big plays in the last couple of minutes of the game.
Yeah, I would actually kind of look at the other end of the game here when you're talking about the Patriots' inability to, you know, successfully execute in big moments, because, and Bill brought this up the other day, the three first quarter turnovers that they've had over the first two games have gone a long way toward defining success or failure for this Patriots offense, because as we've seen in both games, they were able to come back. They were able to make plays in important situations, but they just couldn't sustain it. They just couldn't close. And so, you know, you can only survive for so long when it comes to walking that tightrope. And, you know, honestly, this year's Patriots team, I don't think they're that good. You know, the margin for error is razor thin in those moments. And so, you know, you can't dig yourself a 14-point hole in the early going against teams like Philadelphia and Miami and expect to successfully execute toward the end of the game.
Well, you know how much Coach Belichick hates to turn the ball over at any time. How much talk, how many videos about ball security are they hearing and seeing this week?
No, oh my goodness. And you feel bad for the kid, DeMario Douglas, for fumbling when he did, because, yeah, and look, I've talked about this with, you know, Chris Hogan on my podcast, The Patriots Report. And I'm actually reaching out to some former Patriots. Ball security is job security. That's the bottom line. Mm. You know, there's nothing more important to Bill Belichick on offense than ball security. And if you can't take care of it, you're not going to play. And I don't know if Bill may have, you know, Bill honestly may have shot himself in the foot by not playing DeMario Douglas, a guy who can, you know, get separation in the second half.
You know, I wanted to ask you that. Yeah, I mean, obviously you want to make a point, especially to a young player, but did it take away what might have been a valuable option in the second half?
I think it did. I do. I think it did. And, you know, and I know Bill is going to be Bill, and Bill is going to operate the way he's operated for, you know, 1,000 years. But at the same time, when you're faced with that kind of situation and you need an offensive playmaker who has that great short area quickness and, you know, makes guys miss and can do some great things when he gets the ball in space, and you sit him down for the course of the second half, it doesn't help you out. And so, look, again, I understand that Bill's making a point. This is something that Bill has done, you know, for 20-plus years. But I think he may have hurt his own team there in the second half by leaving DeMario Douglas on the bench.
There were some positives in the game. Certainly that special teams play, the block was something special to see.
Yeah, it really was. I, you know, being able to see that, and I think if you're a Patriots fan, that should give you, you know, reason for encouragement, because the special teams has been uncharacteristically sloppy, in my opinion, the last couple of years. To be able to come up with a play like that in a moment like that, I thought was very, very big. You know, you look at plays like that, though, Rich, and you look at the interception by Gonzalez, and you look at these really great individual plays. For whatever reason, this team, through two games, they haven't been able to build on those moments. When it appears that they're really kind of starting to gain momentum, to really kind of start to come back in the game and really kind of, you know, looking like that, you know, they've kind of started things to turn for them. They can't build on it. They can't really stack success. And again, they can't close. And so, you know, until they can put a good 60 minutes together and until they can build on those types of plays, I don't know how successful this team is going to be.
And it's interesting because they were very similar games, but I thought a very different feeling with this second one. And maybe because it was the second close loss in a row, maybe because it was a divisional game, but I don't know. I was more optimistic at the end of the Philadelphia game.
It was funny. I was telling someone this, that after the first game, after the Philadelphia game, all of the Philadelphia writers were standing by the elevator waiting to go down and saying, oh, it's not very good. Oh, my goodness. You know, I know they won, but oh, that looks really tough. And all the New England writers were saying, well, you know, that wasn't as bad as I thought. So you can kind of get the idea of a moral victory in that first one. There was no such optimism. And I think part of it was because what you just said there, it was a division game. And division games are huge, especially this year. It was a winnable game for New England. And New England's margin for error, like I said this year, is not that big. So when you have division games in your grasp, like they appeared to have on Sunday night, and you let them slip through your fingers, it's awful tough.
We're talking with Christopher Price of the Boston Globe here on Downtown. Well, with that in mind, another divisional game this week. Is it too early in the season to be talking about a must-win?
No, it's really not, because you can spin it, and I know the numbers, you know, teams that start off 0-2, their chances of making the playoffs, at least when it was a 16-game season, are a little slim. I think it's a little bit more, you get a little bit more of a grace period with a 17-game season, but you go to 0-3 in a 14, 16, 17-game season, doesn't matter. It starts to look awful dicey. And so, you know, I don't want to come out, you know, and call it an absolutely must-win game, because you never know what's going to happen down the road. But very few 0-3 teams end up making the postseason. And so, you know, you could take that for what it's worth. But I do think that there has to be a sense of urgency on the New England sideline going into Sunday, regardless of what happens. Because, again, division game, you're on the road, you're playing a rival that is missing its star quarterback. Again, a winnable game if you're New England. They really need to have this one.
Defensively, do they feel confident that they can get some pressure on Zach Wilson?
Yeah, they do. They do. And look, I know it's early in the week, but this game really, to me, sets up to be, you know, I was calling it a rock fight with someone. It's, you know, the first team to two offensive touchdowns is going to win this thing, because, you know, the defenses are so good. The offenses, there's so many question marks around, you know, both teams, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. So I think the defense is going to be enough for them to win. I think New England's defense is good enough for them to, you know, to win this thing. I also think, too, like we said before, special teams is better this year. New England special teams is better this year, and I think they're going to need a little bit of special teams magic to win this thing on Sunday.
Offensively, they're up against that tough D. How important is it to get more production out of the run game? Was it 50 yards on 15 carries for Ramondre Stevenson? Zeke Elliott didn't do much, 13 yards on 5 carries?
Yeah, they need to get more. And I don't know if it's the offensive line. I don't know if it's a lack of burst from Stevenson. I know he was sick earlier in the year and he didn't quite have the burst that, you know, maybe he should have going into that Miami game. I also think, too, honestly, you run better if you have the lead. And I think, you know, some of those rushing game numbers need to be put in a little bit of context, because if you're trailing by 10 points in the third quarter, fourth quarter, you're not going to want to run the ball. You're going to want to throw the ball. I think the Patriots are able to impose their will on the Jets early, even if it's by a touchdown, going into that third quarter, going into that fourth quarter. I think you're going to see them run the ball with more success than they've had over the first two games.
Who do you see emerging from this group of wide receivers?
Kendrick Bourne. Mm. I'm sorry, I blanked on his name for a second, but I think Bourne is their most complete receiver, at least right now. I don't know if he's technically their best receiver, but I think he's a guy who can really get some success in the short and intermediate game. And when they need to stretch the field a little bit, I think that, you know, he does offer some value there. I think he's their most complete receiver. at least at this point. I think Mac's favorite receiver is the tight end, Hunter Henry, who's really continued to make plays for him over the course of the first two games. I think it's going to be the case moving forward as well. So I think there are two different answers to that question ultimately, but Mac likes them both, and I think he's going to continue to rely on them both going forward.
Who has to play well, do you think, offensively to get a victory Sunday?
The offensive line, all of them, all five of them, you know, no matter who they roll out there. I think they were plagued a little bit, but just by the fact that, you know, Michael Enyu and Cole Strange were playing their first games of the year, and Calvin Anderson, who I still think is a good offensive lineman, but, you know, learning to work with Enyu, and they just need to get healthy. They really need to get healthy. I don't know right now if Trent Brown is going to be able to go on Sunday, but look, if you can get Trent Brown, Cole Strange, David Andrews, Michael Enyu, and Calvin Anderson out there on a consistent and steady basis, I have all the faith in the world that this offense is going to turn around. They're not going to make people forget about the 2007 Patriots, but I think this group, this offense, can really get things started. That's the first step in the right direction. When you're talking about the offensive sluggishness, you get that offensive line working together, I think good things will come of it.
In a strange way, might it be good to get away from Gillette Stadium for a week?
Yeah, you know, I think there might be something to that. I think that, you know, going on the road and the idea of circling the wagons and, you know, all we have here is the 53 guys in the locker room, and that's, you know, what we're going to depend on. It can be a bit of a team bonding experience. And I think it's going to be a good opportunity for them to really kind of show what they're made of and show a little character, show a little backbone. Because, again, you know, you go to 0-3, and I don't want to say it's over, but it's awful tough to come back from an 0-3 start.
Christopher Price of the Boston Globe. Chris, great talking with you as always. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. Enjoy the game this weekend, and we'll catch up with you again before too long.
As always, my pleasure, Rich. Take care, and we'll talk soon.
You got it.